Welcome to the Authors Line, interviews and insights with featured authors and writers.
It's my great pleasure to welcome today into the studio two people who we have spoken to before when they were what we would call neophytes, meaning that they had just aimed at doing a book, and now they're old timers. They have completed
gray-haired
two books, and they show the
over
effects of all of this.
But wise.
Michael Miller, will you introduce your co-author to the listening audience, please?
Absolutely. The one and only Adrienne Strickland, and she is actually has twice the gray hairs and hunched over wisdom that I do, because before
she
we co-authored
twice
together,
as hard, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
She was already twice published, and then we started to work together. Our last book came out last year, which is, was it last year? Was
you
it
mean,
2 years ago? Our first book.
Yeah, it came out last spring.
And the name of that book for a listener who might have been hiding under some rock somewhere?
That's true. If you are not up on the coolest things happening in the world, its name was Shadow Run.
Mm-hmm. Right. So after that, Shadow seemed to work so well, you named the new book Shadow Call.
Yes.
It's a theme. There's a definite
it's,
theme
it's
happening here.
It's a sequel,
here.
So.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this. I'll divulge that I read the first book, and I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yeah, I picked it up. I didn't, you know, I kept reading it. I didn't put it away and think, oh, my God, I have to go back. So, but the second one I have not been able to read because my spouse has had it, and she's obviously enjoying the book because she's almost done, but she's not rushing to get it through so she could go on to something else. And I expect in the next day or so I will be able to take a look at that. And so I'm thinking to start off with listeners who are in that similar situation. They've read the first book. Mm-hmm. Can you give them some advice about how to approach this second book?
That's a really great question. I keep an open mind because we will probably be yanking your expectations around.
Mm-hmm. We've heard from readers so far that we always try to have twists that you don't see coming, but you're not always incredibly successful. But I've heard so far from readers that there are many twists that they did not see coming and things that happened to characters they weren't expecting. So.
And we knew going in there were a couple that we felt pretty certain no one would be able to predict. It's been really gratifying that most of them seem to have caught people by surprise. So, yeah, strap in. It's quite the ride. And for anyone who's joining this just from the outset and has never heard of any of these before, Shadowrun and Shadow Call are both science fiction / adventure space novels. Mm-hmm. Thoroughly lighthearted fun. Well, I don't know about thoroughly lighthearted. Definitely intended to be fun. We talked about this last time. If you're into classifications, it would be classified as space opera.
Yes.
And it's a little bit more geared towards young adult, but realistically, it's just a fun story.
We've had people say it's both, and we've certainly had young adults and adults reading it. But yes, think Star Wars meets Firefly, the TV show, if you've ever seen that.
Yes, of course.
Or Alaska meets NASA 5,000 years from now.
Yes, that too.
So the word drama comes to mind when I think about my read of the first one, because I can tell you that I liked the characters. I connected, if you will, with the characters, and I felt their pain because there was pain.
Yes.
Pain there. Which one of you is the source of more pain?
Adri.
He says without hesitation.
Oh, wow. That was
he really
quick.
Likes the torture.
I mean,
I do like to – well, I mean, it's a great source of tension on the page because oftentimes beginning writers like to treat their characters gently because they're like their babies.
I'm a nice person.
Yes, but what I've realized is to really make your reader be on the edge of your seat and really up the tension and stakes, you kind of have to torture your characters.
You know, what Adri is really good at that I am worse at, it's – I think everyone goes into it at least hoping and planning to torture their characters with events or challenges, but – Adri is very willing to have interpersonal conflicts that I am much more likely to avoid or just assume that if everyone's a friend, they'll get along to some level. And so a lot of the a lot of the character interactions that seem to matter to people and matter to us and make them real human beings are the internal conflicts in the main groups. It's a cast story. You know, it's a large, right, well, not a large right. cast, but it's five or six characters or so that you want to keep track of and care about, hopefully. And it is their dynamic that I think really makes it.
Right. And so listeners of previous interviews and or those who have heard you speak at one of the places that you have spoken have had some sense of how it came to be that the two of you would be able to do this. Do you alternate words, alternate pages, alternate voices?
He gets one word and then I get the
we
next.
Prefer to alternate syllables. We find that adds a certain cadence to the writing. That's
the,
very nice.
We alternate it. We took the easier route. I'm still not easy writing with someone, and we're very lucky to be able to write together. And it's due to, I think, yeah, just willingness to compromise. But we alternated chapters, and each of those chapters has a different point of view. So, well, there are two points of view in the book, and I took the character Cole, and he took the character Nev. And so that made it easier to let us have our, like, let our own distinct voices go wild. You know, we didn't have to try to match each other because we were coming at it from two completely different people. So, but at this point, I feel like we could write a book together because we've had a lot of practice now that was just one voice, one point of view. But
I think it helps that I wouldn't say our voice is 100% similar, but I do feel that our writing styles are similar. Mm-hmm. We have a similar – I mean, because some people are radically different, right? Mm-hmm. You can often pick up a book by one author and the way they cover character interactions or the way they describe scenery is utterly and totally different. It's great, but it's completely different from the way I would do it. If I read Adri's writing, I often – in fact, in retrospect now reading the books, I will have trouble picking out which one of us wrote what because we've been all up in one another's chapters. Mm-hmm. And I'll go – and mostly the reason I'm chagrined about this, I'll read something, I'll go, ooh, that's nice. And then I'll go back and check and see who wrote it. And it's in my chapter, but Adri had written it.
So that leads to this interesting question. You had some agreement, obviously, as you started down this path together. But I'm thinking of going for a hike in the mountains, and I'm with somebody else, and we're walking along, and one person wants to move a little slower or wants to stop and look over here. Somebody wants to, you know, maybe go that way rather than this way. How do you, in a situation in your book, reconcile what I would guess would be some differences?
I do feel very strongly that you have to go into that, and this is true, I think, much more than just writing anything, really, knowing that you will compromise. And that, mm-hmm. to me, means before the disagreement has arrived, you know that when the disagreement does arrive, the intent is to work it out and figure something else out,
yeah,
right?
Like, and we each had things that we really cared about.
Absolutely.
And you pick your battles, and mm-hmm. we would often start, you know, a scene or like, what do you really love about this? What
yep.
do you absolutely have to have happen to this character? And
okay.
and so we'd work things out like that. And also heavy outlining together that was a completely collaborative process. So we knew the path was laid out for us by us.
And when you outline early on, you haven't had your preconceptions set yet, so
mm-hmm.
there's a lot less to fight about, right? So you're just brainstorming. I feel it would be harder if you hadn't done that and you're at the end of the book and it turns out you guys haven't discussed, you know, key character moments
yeah.
at all. And you're like, well, I thought this was a redemption path and I thought we're chopping their head off. You know, I mean, it's really hard to – well, you probably could reconcile that. And there were multiple – there were definitely times where one or the other of us, I feel, said, well, this thing is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then Adri would come back and say, okay, well, how do we work with that,
mm-hmm.
with what I'm talking about? And you just sort of often new things arise.
Yeah, that collaborative process is so cool because when you're writing by yourself, you're kind of just, you know, working things out in your own head. But with two different people, sometimes somebody wants to go one way, somebody wants to go the other way. You come up with a completely new path that's way better than
yep.
either original
exactly.
idea. So
I've had an opportunity recently to interview a whole string of authors. And one of the consistent pieces of the interview involves the editing process. So I'm curious here, did you edit one another or did you have a third party mediator, editor, or how did that all work?
Well, we definitely had we had several rounds of edits with different people after our process. I would say that I, you know, since I've written a few books before, I edited Michael a little more than he edited me, though. Like we said, we both were in each other's chapters doing things all the time. But then you go through a round of edits with your agent, which we have, and you go through many rounds of edits with your actual editor at your publishing house, because we're traditionally published. And so we have luckily lots of, and then we have copy editors and lots of people looking over our shoulder and helping the book be as strong as it can be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a blessing. And I know that for me, I'm not a very good editor by nature. I tend to just sort of roll along with whatever someone else has written and go, oh, looks good to me. And so Adri's strength is to, she can do that, but then she can look at something I've written and said, well, to make it stronger, we have to do X. So part of my learning process was to look at my own stuff and self-edit and then try and provide useful feedback for Adri, because it's incredibly useful. Like, the most useless feedback in the world is, I liked it.
Exactly.
There's nothing to be gained from that. You know, it's nice, but it's
you can always improve. And it really is a learned skill, you know, editing your own work, because you write it and you have this moment of like, oh, it's perfect. Because that's how I did it the first time around. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anything that I can change or make better. But yeah, you need to back away from it and look at it with a new set of eyes. And you just do that. I think you get that skill by critiquing other people's work.
And getting critiqued. Yeah. I mean, that's why in the second book, I felt a little bit more latitude. I mean, you know, the first chapter was probably the first time I said, no, that really kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the only time
my first chapter
anyone, I've ever said that about anything. Yeah, this doesn't work. You have to, you know, try this. And Adri, to her credit, did not chop my head off. So,
and no, he was right. I went back and I made the first chapter a lot better.
So when in that first book did you have an idea there would be a second book?
Oh, we start. Always. There's many books
in our heads. The question will be if we get to publish them.
So depending on how much everyone loves this book and buys this book has a lot to do with how many additional. Now, that's worth noting. It's not like we're ending these things on cliffhangers, and it's not like you're subscribing your life away to and reading one of these. But these characters aren't going to all die at the end of the book. So there's stories to be had, and they're real to us, and so we like them.
Yeah, it was important to us to wrap up each book with a satisfying ending for that book, but have, you know, open-ended, you know, threads that allow for future stories.
So this is a classic question asked whenever there have been two books with similar characters. Do I have to read the first one before I can get to the second one and understand it?
I would. Yeah, we're nodding. Yes, because the story, is definitely grounded in the story of the second book is entirely based on what happens in the first book. While we recap some of those events, you know, you don't want to do a lot of what's called info dumping and recapping, because people who've read the first book will be bored, and it just doesn't make for a very compelling story to just be recapping something. So anyway, it'd be really helpful to know what happened in the first book, or else you'll be a little confused, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I will point out that I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show Firefly.
I am.
Which, of course, definitely influenced what we write. And I watched Serenity, which ends the TV show Firefly, before I ever watched the show. And I was fine, and I enjoyed it. But it's a very similar situation. You are going to be missing out on all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Characters are so enriched by their past experiences that, and we have little interactions from the get-go that won't mean as much even or make as much sense if you don't know what they've been through. So,
Which is the better book?
Oh, definitely.
The second one.
Definitely the second one. I even writing it felt, I think we telling one another, like, this feels like we're getting into
it. So much stronger. Yeah. And it's also just us writing as a, you know, co-author partnership, getting stronger writing together. Mm-hmm. And we know the characters so well now, and we know how to, just after, you know, going over so many edits with the first book, we know how to make a strong, speedy plot. And so far, feedback is just like, you know, this book is twice as good as the first book.
There are people who kind of were very lukewarm or didn't like the first book.
But the first book must have sold enough to
got readers, for sure. Yeah. And there are plenty of people who like it. We've been very lucky. Feedback has been good. But there were people who hated it. Uh-huh. And there were people
hate everything.
And there were people who were kind of lukewarm. And it's been very gratifying to see some lukewarm people come over and say, wow, this book is was awesome.
Yeah, that's very nice. And also people who love the first book are like, wow, I love the first book, but the second book just blew my mind. So that's really wonderful to hear as an author.
So for listeners, I'm here with two people who are not quite finishing one of those sentences, but speaking in a seamless flow of words, Michael Miller and Adrian Strickland. And we're talking about their second book, which is Shadow Call. What would you say as you look out into the vast world of readership, what are you seeing as your main audience? Who are the people? You've somewhat described this as YA and maybe everybody. But you know, who's likely to grab a hold of this? Is there a particular kind of person?
Michael just said nerds of all ages or sci-fi readers of all ages. It's technically published with a young adult imprint at Random House, but we've had adults pick it up and say, I didn't even know it was young adult. And so I think anyone who enjoys space
I will say one of the things about living in a small community is we've had a huge amount of support from folks who would normally never have picked this book up, normally read this book. And the most gratifying thing has been to get feedback from them that was sincere, that they loved it. So, I mean, it is a fun book that we try to tackle things that matter. We try to have concepts and questions that matter. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is swords in space, right? Mm-hmm. There's only a certain level of drama that is going to resonate with your day-to-day life. So if that doesn't turn you off, then I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you want a fun time in a book and swords in space sounds okay, that's great. But if you're just into reading survival stories in Alaska, or if you're simply into reading documentaries about wars in other countries, and swords in space sounds incredibly frivolous, then probably not your
for
cup
you.
Of tea.
No. One of my favorite reviews so far has been a person I didn't know at all. I think it's just on Amazon or Goodreads or something, but saying, I don't know what this young adult distinction is. I'm 70, and I read it, and I absolutely loved it. And it's like, oh, yes. That's my one of my favorite things to hear.
Okay, so here you are. You now have two books behind you and maybe some number ahead of you. How do you think you have been changed by going through this process? And where are you now? I mean, you're both older, considering when you first started, but you've done this. What do you think the greatest impact for each of you?
I've this peaked, process and now I can die in peace. Okay. That is a good question. I know that for me, Adrian was already writing and was published. I know that for me, I had always wanted to write. And having the outlet of writing has reminded me of how important that is, and I'm trying to structure my life around it more. It's an incredibly gratifying activity. Mm-hmm. Many ways. I don't know. It's part of our fabric now. I mean, Adrian and I have traveled for this book. We've talked to people. We've done things we've never done before. I'd say it's had a huge impact on our life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is definitely, while I've been published before, this is definitely the biggest book, you know, and we've gone to... Yeah, it's been a huge growth experience for me, learning how to talk to lots of people, either on the radio or on panels at Comic-Cons, and just the learning how to, because writing is such a solitary activity usually, so rather than, the biggest impact that it has had on me is writing collaboratively, which is a really useful and very cool thing to know how to do. And
so I believe read some other books, both fiction and nonfiction. I seem to remember a few that were done collaboratively. Was this a model that you saw expressed by someone else, or did you just come upon this yourselves and say, you know, I don't want to do this myself, but I could do that with you? What's the story?
Oh, how we wrote together. I've definitely seen other authors working together, but how Michael and I came about it, it wasn't, you know, I've seen people, you know, help somebody else tell their story, like there's a professional writer and there's somebody with an experience. Yeah. I've seen that kind of collaboration.
But you seem to be on an equal footing.
Yeah, and it was basically just the two of us really enjoying nerding out over the same types of stories, and I knew that Michael really wanted to kind of get into gear and start writing more. He wasn't making a whole lot of time for it, so it's like, well, if I stand behind you and crack a whip over you,
very effective.
I can, and we just, since we enjoy enjoy the same things, and I suspected we would have a similar approach to writing, which indeed turned out to be true. I just thought it would be a lot of fun and could tell a story that we really would want to read and would hope that other people would geek out over too with us. So
yeah, I definitely grew up reading books that I knew had been done by more than one author, but I would have never, I mean, the list of people that I would be willing to work with creatively is very, very, very tiny and short. And so I think that we knew it was possible, but mostly what influenced me was when Adri offered it, there was like no time spent in considering it.
So it was her idea.
Well, I had crossed my mind actually several times before.
Okay.
But there are plenty of people who might go up to a published author and be like, you want to co-write? And I felt that I needed more experience under my belt and before I even approached that subject. And then Adri popped it up out of the blue, and I said yes, as quickly as possible.
So you mentioned that this could appear to be a space opera. Is there a musical or movie in the works?
We have a piece of music written for it by a friend, which I keep meaning to release into the world, but it's not quite done.
Okay.
I think I'm more obsessed with alternate forms of media than Adri is, perhaps, because Adri wants to know there's some useful end result, whereas
I would love a movie, but movie rights have been shopped around. I don't know if it's a rare thing for that to happen. There is also an audiobook. But space opera actually doesn't come from like operatic opera. Soap opera, drama. But yes.
Maybe not everybody understands. Yeah. Maybe they're expecting me to burst out a song.
Good point. A good point. To make. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here as we've been talking about the process, which I think listeners should maybe interested in, because there are many budding authors out there. I wonder if there's any last thing we want to say about the book that will both intrigue people and perhaps provide impetus to go and read it.
We're Alaskans, and if you are Alaskan, I think it will resonate more. We definitely didn't want to be too overt, and I feel we succeeded because people who are out of state absolutely have never picked up on it. There's virtually no recognition that there are any topics or themes that are resonant with Alaskans in the book. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was definitely part of it, and people who are in Alaska have definitely come back to us and said, it's been gratifying. It hasn't been, hey, you threw in mountains and names that, you know, I can giggle about. It's, I definitely recognize these struggles. I recognize these economic decisions or these political decisions, and you guys really nailed it. So I would say that if you are in Alaska or if you're out of Alaska and kind of wonder what life here is like, I do feel there are echoes of that.
Mm-hmm. Despite it being in space.
Or because sometimes.
Okay, well, I want to thank both of you taking time to come in and share your experience with people. Any last comments here from either one of you?
I have a quick one.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
AdrianneStrickland.com, MichaelMiller.website. You can visit our websites for all the different places to get the book. They'll also link to the main site for the book series itself, KaitanChronicles.com. Okay. And as time goes on, there'll be more and more information on there. So if you like it or are interested, please do check us out online because there's a whole bunch more information on
there. And if you like it, please leave us a review. That really helps authors a lot.
That is very true. If you do read it and you leave a review for us on Goodreads or Amazon, that makes a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm. And if you want the book, where should they go to
Fireside
get it?
Books
in downtown Palmer, Alaska. And?
Oh, that's at the usual outlets too. Barnes & Noble. Amazon, but Fireside.
I forget their names, but yes.
You can get a signed copy at Fireside.
Fireside.
It's true.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming in again. Have a good day.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Author's Line on Big Cabbage Radio, broadcasting from Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.